Meine Güte, soll ich mal?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Monday afternoon, I watched with real sorrow as the Cathedral of Notre Dame burned, mourned with the people there, mourned with people around the world. Now right here, we had just celebrated Akathist Saturday to the Blessed Mother of God. And now a day and a half later, a grand cathedral dedicated to her honor burned horribly, dramatically. And for our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, it was their Holy Monday. It's their Holy Week. And Notre Dame is not just an historic relic. It's not just a tourist attraction. It's a functioning church. People lost their church. It's a real church for real people. And to lose such a spiritual center this week especially is devastating. And so I watched, I read the news accounts, saw photos and video, and I mourned with many people. One photo that caught my eye, and it got a lot of international exposure, maybe you saw it. It was taken shortly before the fire broke out. It's a photo of a father and a daughter who had just visited Notre Dame. We're out in front, dancing on the pavement, huge smiles on their faces, looking into each other's eyes. The little girl is airborne, her feet well off the ground, safe in her father's hands. The joy shared between them was palpable. You could feel it. But it makes a person wonder if those two could have shared such joy then and there if they knew that the cathedral would be engulfed in flames within the hour. Would the knowledge of impending disaster have changed, lessened, even eliminated their joyful celebration? And yet the church today is asking us to do something remarkably similar. We arrive at the gates of Holy Week, not with mourning, but with great celebration. Jesus raises Lazarus, a man 4 days dead, a man whose body had already begun to decompose. Jesus raises Lazarus from death to life. And then in great celebration, the Savior enters the holy city with multitudes, all rejoicing at what Jesus had done. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is prescribed by the church for this day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand, rejoice. Have no anxiety, rejoice. You know, this weekend celebration is not only for what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's that what he accomplished then was a sign of what's to come for us. It's a sign of what's to come for everyone. It's a sign of what God, when he comes into this world, is capable of. It is the proof that every one of our loved ones will rise. Jesus will call them by name, just like he did Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Corky, come forth. Gertrude, come forth. Nick, come forth. Matt, come forth. Betty, come forth. Helen, come forth. Maddie, come forth. And they will. And they will, just as sure as Lazarus did. But glorified and healed and renewed, pain-free, anxiety-free, joy-filled and love-laden. Now, if you can imagine your loved one in your mind, in their very best moment, on their very best day. You got that picture? It's like that times 40 when Jesus calls them from the grave. And then all of us together will enter the holy city, not Jerusalem on earth, but the heavenly city of God's kingdom, waving palm branches in our hands, throwing our clothes down. We won't even need these clothes. Our new clothes will be made of light itself. This is the real promise behind Jesus raising Lazarus and entering Jerusalem. It's the promise of what's to come for you and for me and for our loved ones. It's the dress rehearsal that proves that it can be done. So of course we rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. But can you still rejoice? Can you still rejoice if you know? Can you still rejoice if you know? Can you still rejoice if you know what has to happen between the dress rehearsal and the day of glory? Between Lazarus coming forth and Maddie coming forth, something pretty bad happens. At the time, the disciples did not know, but we do. What's to come is the worst act humanity has ever devised. We will collectively take our Savior. We will collectively take our God with us and reject his message, reject his way of love, reject him. And we will collectively say, we would rather put God to death than change. And even that good part inside of us that doesn't want that will be powerless to stop it. And creation will grow dark. That's what's to come. Can you still rejoice if you know? Can you still rejoice if you know that? Could the father and the airborne daughter dancing in front of Notre Dame still rejoice if they knew the sacred house would be engulfed in flames within the hour? Now, in our earthly sense, who's to say? But in a spiritual sense, it's a perfect icon because we're the airborne daughter and our Father in heaven is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You are safely in my hands. Yes, fire is coming within the hour. Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, the cross comes this week, but rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, you have to face pain and grief and heartbreak. And betrayal, and did I mention grief? Rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, our bodies and our brains don't always work the way they should or even used to. They even die. Rejoice in the Lord always. And yes, that promise of being reunited with our loved ones can seem like a long way off. Rejoice in the Lord always. What Jesus is telling us by raising Lazarus and entering the holy city this particular week, the week of his horrible betrayal, the very week of his cross, is that death and darkness and pain and fire and disappointment and betrayal cannot win in the end. They cannot win in the end. He chose this week to enter the holy city. He chose this week to raise a man 4 days dead because life has the final word and love has the final say. And joy is possible even when life seems upside down. When your crosses come, and they will, remember this day. Remember his promise that the new day will rise and that life wins. When your crosses come, hold that palm branch high and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Amen. Amen.